Mental Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And happy September 13th.
September the 13th.
Tuesday.
Almost halfway there.
We're almost halfway through the month already.
These months are flying by.
Flying by. And before we know it, it's going to be the holidays, and it's going to be all the craziness that goes along with that. Is, you know, we're running all over the place doing all kinds of things.
As men, we don't do much shopping, right? But every once in a while, you go into a store and you see Halloween stuff and you think, oh my God, it can't be that, but, you know.
I think they put Halloween stuff though up right after 4th of July.
August. Right, that's right.
You know, it just.
No, it comes out early, but still it's like this shock of, oh my gosh, Halloween.
And then November 1st, they'll have the Christmas trees out.
Right, right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so Halloween's coming up and then Thanksgiving. And Christmas and, you know, the time is just flying by.
Right, and we issued a reminder to all of you parents who have school-aged children that interim grade reports come out this week.
That's right.
So be gentle, be patient, be calm, stay calm, and call the doctor.
Don't go crazy.
No.
Don't go crazy.
No need to panic, just stay calm, okay?
Yeah. So today's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, we talk about mental health in the news.
Right.
And this is a great article that came out yesterday.
This one took me a little by surprise when you told me about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's from the Telegraph. From England, is the telegraph.co.uk. Mm-hmm. I'll post the link to the article in the show notes. But the title of the article is, Could Counseling Help You Beat Back Pain?
Right.
And now we always think about, well, I kind of stumble over my words sometimes when I'm talking about this, because we go through these things and we think, okay, well, you have your psychological health, and then you have your physical health, and those are two separate things.
That's right. And pain feels like it comes under that physical health category.
Right. Now, in mental health, in our DSM, our diagnostic Bible, if you will, there is a complete, a whole chapter on something called somatic disorders, which are disorders of physical manifestation, gastrointestinal issues, sometimes even seizures and things like that, that have no medical basis.
Right.
So there's nothing that can be found medically that could be causing the symptoms that the patient is reportedly experiencing, but the person is experiencing them nonetheless.
So you have symptoms, either pain or discomfort, but no detectable medical reason, no physical reason.
Right. Now, one of the ones I think is the most fascinating is a disorder called conversion disorder.
Yeah, right.
And conversion disorder is, and I think that the reason I like that, or we like that one so much, is because it is neurological symptoms with no medical basis. So a person can have seizures, but their brain not have a seizure.
But it's not detectable on EEG.
It's fascinating.
Right.
I actually had a patient one time have one in front of me, and you know, she's been followed by a neurologist for years and years, and never came up with anything on an EEG or any type of scan or anything. But she had one right there.
Right.
It's fascinating. It's amazing, the power of psychology, the power of our mind. And that goes both ways. Our mind can cause us physical pain, can cause us physical limitations. But who's to say that our psychology, our mental health, our mentality can't do the opposite and help resolve physical problems?
If it can
cause them,
could it be used as a treatment?
Yeah. So this fellow, in this article, it was written by, I'm looking at my computer here, it was written by Anna McGee.
That's
the author's name. Right. But the fellow that's true. Thank you for that correction.
Was she a fellow like a position?
Oh, no, I see what you're saying. Okay. No,
She's not a fellow in the university.
No, I was jumping ahead to the physiotherapist.
Oh, okay. So she's the reporter.
She's the reporter, right.
Okay.
There's a physiotherapist named David Rogers.
Okay.
And he's at the Royal Orthopedic Hospital in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
They always have such fancy names for their hospitals.
The Royal Hospital for Children, like in Peter Pan.
So the Royal Orthopedic Hospital in Birmingham, and he's been there for 6 years, and he works with patients with back pain issues.
Mm-hmm.
And he began this project where he would get patients together into groups. And for 4 weeks, they would meet twice a week. They would meet for 3 hours a week. So over several sessions, they would meet for a total of 3 hours a week. And they would basically learn, you know, breathing techniques. The way that it's described is almost meditation-like techniques, and just more positive thinking and that kind of stuff. And what they found was that through the breathing techniques and through the meditation-like stuff and through different stretches and stuff like that that he could teach them, their symptoms improved significantly. Now,
there was a reduction in pain?
There was a reduction in pain. And not just a reduction in pain, but in one of their studies of 85 patients, 73% by the end of the 4 weeks were able to reduce their medication.
Well, no, tell me again what he had them do during the sessions.
He was teaching them breathing techniques. Again, it sort of sounded somewhat like meditation.
Like relaxation.
Relaxation. Positive thinking, right. and some stretches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so he taught them those things. And by the end of the 4 weeks, 73% of those 85 patients were taking less medication.
Okay.
Some no medication at all. Of those 73%, okay, 92% of them were still off medications 9 months later.
Wow, that's a long time.
Okay. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, okay, 9 months, okay. We don't get those kinds of results very often in our field, you know, you can just do something for 4 weeks.
Right, right.
4 weeks.
And have 9 months of remission.
Right. Right. They've done it, several studies looking at this program that he does. And in another study, they found that reported pain response to treatment was just as good with his treatment as back surgery.
Ooh.
How about that? It says that another study says that that this program may work just as well as spinal surgery. And another study supported that and said that there is no statistical difference between those who had back surgery and those who went through this program.
And back surgery is a dangerous surgery that doesn't always work, right?
Back surgery is a tremendously invasive. I mean, if you've ever watched a back surgery, I like watching those kinds of videos and stuff. They go in there. I mean, it looks like a workshop, a woodworking shop with the saws that they have and the drills and the wire mesh and all this stuff that they put in there. It's remarkable what they do. I mean, the physicians and surgeons that do that work are amazing.
My daughter played a YouTube video of hip replacement surgery.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like construction.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like carpentry, not surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, the way the force at which they bang on these joints with chisels and hammers and things, saws, it looks like they're building something.
Right.
Like
and so people wonder why it takes them weeks and weeks and weeks to recover.
Mm-hmm. Orthopedic surgery. And I had a fellow tell me, his father's a doctor, and he told me one time that orthopedic surgery, it has the longest recovery time. It's the most complex, the most invasive, and takes the longest to recover.
Well, if you think about it, and this is certainly the case with the back, to get to the bones, you have to go through muscle, you have to go through fatty tissue, you have to go through lots of other things
to get to it,
right? And with back surgery, this is something that I had never thought about before either. We think, okay, back surgery, you go through the back. No, remember, we have to encase the spine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they have to go through the front
well.
Which means that they have to go through all of
the
innards.
The vertebrae is a circle, essentially.
Right.
There's a front and a back to it. So that's right. Sometimes you have to go in, because if you're in the posterior spine, anterior spine, you have to go through the chest.
Right.
Or, ooh.
Yeah. So
you
think
move
about
all that stuff.
Think about
what
you're going through to get to it. It's remarkable. But
did you ever butterfly a leg of lamb?
What do you? No, I don't eat like that, man.
If you take a leg of lamb and you want to take the bone out so you can flatten it on the grill, you slice it, spread it out, pull the bone out, and then grill it. That's what you're doing with hip surgery.
Whew.
You're butterflying your thigh.
Yeah.
And they have to, because to get, like you said, to get to your hip, they have to cut through, they have to get all that muscle out of the way.
Right, right. Wow.
It's construction.
It is. It is. And it,
so this is this technique that this physiologist used was as effective as back surgery.
That's what he said. Yeah, that's what they're. They have several research studies out now that says that. So, that's remarkable, and it goes. It supports a long line of research now coming out that different, what we would call psychological principles, whether it's meditation, I would kind of throw yoga into a sort of a broad umbrella of psychological principles that are used for different things. But those kinds of treatments have a profound effect on people's, not just our mental health, but our physical health as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they noted in the article is that one of the things that limits individuals with back pain is that anticipatory. We talk about anticipatory anxiety a lot in our field because that is one of the most impairing or limiting symptoms that we experience. And what they talked about in this is, of course, it would make sense that when people have really severe back pain, they also have anticipatory issues. And so the thought of getting up and having to do this immediately causes some discomfort and some distress because they're thinking about having to do something that's probably going to cause them pain, and it lowers their quality of life or it diminishes their quality of life. And again, this program, this system that he does, helps them overcome that, and the individuals, their quality of life significantly improves.
When in this article, I'm probably jumping ahead here, does he talk about why he thinks it works?
Not really. Not in this article. I haven't pulled the actual research studies because they're not articles that they're not journals that we usually have access to. Like this one is in the Annals of Rheumatic Diseases.
We don't subscribe
to that one.
Right.
So I haven't been able to get some of these articles yet. So, but I'm trying to. Trying to get them because I think it's fascinating.
Well, it is because as you talk, or as we talk about. Excuse me, as we talk about surgery, I hadn't thought about the stress factor. But when you face surgery, you have the anticipation, stressful, the event itself, stressful, and the recovery, stressful.
Right.
And so you're producing a stress response from anticipation through complete recovery.
Yeah.
So surgery involves the elicitation of the stress response.
Right.
This procedure, not only does it not include that stress response, it actually spends time moving in the other direction of relaxation.
Right.
Okay, that's what they're emphasizing here is relaxation, stress, stress reduction.
It's interesting. And, you know, it certainly isn't something that works for everyone because, you know, of the 85 patients in this particular study, 73% got better. Now, that's a great percentage, especially statistically, it's a great percentage.
It really is.
But it also means that 27% didn't get better. So,
but that's we have that with everything.
Right.
Nothing works with everybody.
Right, absolutely. And so the nature of the injury, the nature of the problem with the back probably has something to do with it.
This has important implications.
Oh, absolutely.
I hadn't thought about because when you have pain, pain generally increases over time.
Right.
Pain leads to pain. Okay. And if you can do anything, you know, I'd say, well, it's all in your head. Of course it is.
Right.
That's where pain resides. I mean, pain resides at the site, but it's produced by the brain.
Right. It's interpreted.
Those
signals are interpreted by the brain.
Right. So, yes, it is in the brain. So anything you can do to change that has the potential to reduce symptoms.
Now, is that not what, the word just went out of my head. When pregnant mothers go through that program to learn how to breathe,
Lamaze.
That's one of the main things with Lamaze is you're teaching to relax because those kind of deep breaths. You know, they do mention this in the article. Those kind of deep breaths resets the brain and it helps oxygenate the brain so that it can recover and can interpret the stimuli differently.
Mm-hmm. Because in our species, pain, we focus on pain, and we're supposed to, because pain gets your attention.
Right.
But
Pain means that there's something that you need to avoid.
Right, right.
Right.
So in the Lamaze method, the breathing is so difficult. It takes so much concentration to do the breathing that if you're concentrating on the breathing, you're not concentrating on the pain.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And that's sort of the idea here, is you're putting your mind somewhere else. When they talk about being mindful,
right,
you're putting your mind someplace else and you're taking it off the pain.
Yeah. Well, and I think that this is sort of a normal thing in our sort of pop culture. You know, if you have a headache or if there's a part of your body that hurts,
right,
you know, the joke is you hurt something else. You hurt another part of your body,
right,
and then you don't it doesn't make the pain from the first place go away. It just means that you're focusing your attention on something else.
Or that famous parental line, I'll give you something to cry about.
Oh, Lord. So, around the same time that this article came out, I found this article on, I think it was Apple News, I think is where I came across it. But yesterday, there were several other articles out about, again, the benefit of yoga, the benefits of these other strategies and techniques and things that can be done to help manage those symptoms, help manage pain, help manage medical issues. And
I'm guessing that it has something to do with stress reduction.
Yeah.
That stress, absolutely. Stress produces cortisol. You know, mm-hmm. And so if you can eliminate cortisol, you're taking one important ingredient out of this.
Right, right.
Fascinating.
So there is a lot, this evidence is growing.
Mm-hmm.
This evidence is, I think it's going to continue to grow. I think as we look more into, and we continue to welcome the idea of the psychological implications of some of these medical things, I think that we're going to see more and more of this research.
Right. The other thing I like about this notion is that people underestimate the damage that stress does to the body.
Right.
I mean, most of us don't really understand how truly damaging stress is.
Right.
And it's not just for your heart. It's for your heart, your brain, your muscles, your joints, everything. Everything can be affected by stress.
Right.
Because stress produces cortisol, and cortisol goes everywhere and can affect every body system. So just...
Well, when you think about, just to think about what stress does to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system.
Right.
I mean, you get into fight or flight, and when you're in fight or flight, your gastrointestinal system doesn't work the same way. Your heart doesn't work the same way. Your lungs don't work the same way. Your brain doesn't work the same way. Everything changes when you're in fight or flight.
When you move toward fight or flight, you're affecting every part of the sympathetic and parasympathetic. You're either activating or deactivating every body function.
Everyone. Yeah. So we have that great slide that we use in our presentations that has, you know, goes from the brain down, and it just shows every organ system that's affected between the parasympathetic and the sympathetic, and you know, one responds to stress and the other tries to recover from stress.
Right.
And when there's an imbalance, because we're staying on the stress side so long,
we tend to stay on the stress side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our immune system is weakened, you know, everything. No, it's no wonder that we get sick when we're
That's what colds are. Colds are that you become an opportunistic site, you know. For infection. Interesting.
Very interesting. So, you know, so if you have some back pain, if you have issues related to some medical pain or medical problems or something, you know, mental health really isn't necessarily a thing to rule out immediately.
Yep.
Maybe something to consider, maybe something to think about. So,
All
right. So it's, I'll have the article posted in the show notes and everything.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Good job.
All right, so today's Tuesday. On Tuesday, of course, we need to make sure that you're going out and exercising. Make sure you get your 30 minutes. If you're playing Pokemon Go, try to incubate one of those 5K eggs today if you can. If not, get a 2K egg.
If you're playing Pokemon Go, call me.
No, it's great. Because if you work to hatch an egg every day, that's at least a mile and a half that you're walking. If not 3 miles, if you're working on a 5K egg. So if you're playing the game, get out and walk.
Did you say a 5K egg?
Uh-huh. And if you have a 10K egg, call me, because for some reason, I can only get two. My son has gotten like 4 so far. I don't know what the deal is with that. I cannot get another 10K egg. You don't understand.
I don't want to.
I'm a technophile.
You are a technophile. I'm a technophobe.
I still don't know what that means, but that's okay. All right? Protein. So get out and exercise today. Think about one of the things I'd like for you to do today, if when you have the moment. Ideally, do this just before you go to bed, just as you're laying down to go to bed. I want you to look back at the day today and take note of something that you accomplished today. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it was something silly, if it's something that you feel was insignificant. When you lay down to go to bed tonight, try to think of at least one thing that you accomplished today that is working towards some goal that you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that today, you'll be all set. While you're doing that, what will probably happen is you'll have a thought about some other things that you didn't do to work towards your goal. Fear not, my good friend. Make note of that, because that's something that you'll do tomorrow, okay? So if you didn't get it done today, put it on your list of to do tomorrow, and that way you can keep working towards whatever goal it is that you're trying to accomplish. Because every day is just another step in the right direction. Right. All right?
I congratulated myself for my success last night.
That's right. Told you we were talking about that. Great.
Got some positive reinforcement from you for last night's success. Every day you have some little success, right? Congratulate yourself. Call us. We'll congratulate you on your successes.
Give us
a call. We'll reinforce it.
That's right. And it doesn't matter how small or apparently petty it is. It's any success, any step in the right direction is a good step. So.
Right.
All right. Have a great day. Have a happy Tuesday. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
In the morning.
Bye-bye.